Good morning. Praise the Lord. There is no other God I call to. You are the one I cling to. Let that be our life's goal, to cling to God, to cling to Christ, and to cling to His Word. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for eternal life and the privilege of prayer. We thank You that You have called us out of the darkness and into the light, that You have redeemed us from our sinful self. You have redeemed us from the curse of sin, the curse that is upon the world today. But praise the Lord, it is taken care of because our Lord Jesus Christ came to earth as a man, God as a man. He died on the cross, paying the penalty for our sin, and rose again. Father, if words come out of my mouth, when words come out of my mouth today, may they not be from me, may they be from You. May I speak Your word faithfully. May I stand here in fear and weakness and trembling, and I determine to know nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. For may I not rely and look to and speak of the wisdom of men, but may I speak with the power from God. Thank You, Father. Open our eyes and hearts to Your word, that we may hear, obey, and live it out. In Jesus' name. Amen. The title of today's sermon is Speak Like God's Children. Or we could even say it could be Speak as Children of Faith. We're in the book of James, and the book of James was written, as has been said a couple times, during a time of strong persecution. The Jewish people would not accept Christianity because they viewed Christ as a man, not the Messiah of the Old Testament, which was their book. The Romans were against Christ because there's no king but Caesar. The persecution they faced, Christians faced during this time, were insults and slanderous accusations. Sometimes they were beaten. They were cast out as social outcasts. And sometimes big mobs came after them. But one thing also is, virtually all of the apostles were martyred for their faith. So at that point, Christianity could be a life or death decision. This is the background where James says, count it all joy when you face trials of many kinds. Why? Well, because these trials produce Christ in us. They mature us. And Then James says, he says, ask God for wisdom in these trials. And you will receive, just like Jesus said, ask and you will receive. Blessed are you when you're persecuted for the name of Christ, for you will be rewarded with the crown of life. Is what James says in verse 12, chapter 1, verse 12. But in this persecution, you will be tempted. You will be tempted, but you're not being tempted by God. This is what James says. He says, you're not being tempted by God. You're only being tempted by your desire. Huh. And your own desire leads you to your own sin. So guess what? We're responsible for our own sin. Wow. That's difficult. And our own sin will lead us to death. And we will all be judged for what we do, our sin. We will be judged and be responsible for our sin. But God sent Jesus to die and rise again for us. Thank God. Who will save me from this body of death? Thank God for Jesus Christ. Jesus came, died, rose again, and sent the Holy Spirit to live inside of us so we might become children of God, children of faith, for we no longer live according to the way that we think, but now we live according to God, that we might be now the righteousness of God. And this is all what James is saying in before I get to our passage. He says, of his own will, and this is in 1:18, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we would be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. For every good and perfect gift comes from God. What are those gifts? Number one, Jesus Christ. Number two, the Holy Spirit. He said, so receive Christ. This is the whole background of what we're coming to this. Receive Christ. Receive the implanted word which is able to save your souls. James says this. The Bible says this. And live as children of God, obeying the word of God. Another apostle said, you only love him, Apostle John, because he first loved you. Live in obedience to the word and guard your speech. He says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. If anyone does not bridle his tongue, his religion is useless. For whoever keeps the law and fails just one point, he's guilty of breaking the whole thing. So he says this, speak and act as those who are judged under the law of liberty. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Then we talk to what? Faith without works is dead. Faith is active with works. Faith is completed by our works. For Abraham had faith. He believed God and it was accounted to him as righteousness. For the righteous or the just shall live by faith. And that's where we're at. We are children of God. Speak as children of God. Speak as children of faith. Live as children of faith. If you have your Bibles, that was a long introduction, but please turn to James chapter 3. James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. What I just spoke was what James is saying prior to where we're at. He says, my brethren, James chapter 3, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. And if anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look at the ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue. The tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a fire, see how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire. It's a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. Wow. Every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and we curse men who've been made in the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh water. My goal in this sermon, speak as children of God, speak as children of faith, is, number one, to explain why James says what he says about the tongue. To explain why the tongue is full of poison. Why we can't tame the tongue. Why it's so here and there. Also, I want to explain why this is. And also, how the tongue affects us in our lives. And also, what we might be able to do with this problem. What we can do to guard our speech, the best words I can come up with that, guard our speech. First of all, James says in verse 1 and 2, let not many of you become teachers, knowing we will receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things, and if anyone does not stumble, he's a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. I think James starts with bringing us all on common ground. He says, we're all going to be judged. Yeah, he does say teachers will have a stricter judgment, and that is true. But he says, you will all be judged. And he also says, we all sin. Every single one of us sins. What does he say preceding this in verse 2, chapter 2, verse 12? He says, speak and act, or speak and do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. The law of liberty. The law can be summed up in what? In what? Love God. Love your neighbor. The great commandment. The law of liberty. Let's just say it's the great commandment. You're free to do everything you want. The law is just love God and love your neighbor. So speak as children of God. Speak as those who will be judged. There's a few themes that James continues to repeat. One is judgment. The other is faith. Live by faith. Why? Because the tongue is evil. Well, is the tongue evil? But out of our mouth come blessing and cursing. This ought not be. I want to say that this section about the tongue is directly connected with Pastor Reed's last sermon that says, faith without works is dead. What we do and what we say are directly connected. And that's why he says, speak and so do. Speak and act as children of faith. So when he talks about faith without works is dead, well, speech, it's a large part of what we do. So we ought to speak rightly. Speech and actions go together. Because he uses the example. He says, if you see someone destitute, we go out to the homeless ministry, right? We go out to the homeless ministry. If you see someone destitute, and without food and water, or a poor man in filthy clothes. You naked and destitute of food, and you say to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled. But you don't give them what you need. It says, what does it profit? Thus also, faith without works is dead. You're saying to them, you're speaking, oh, be warmed and filled, but you don't give them what they need? The Apostle John says the same thing. He says the same thing. He uses the same exact. He says, by this we know love. Whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Our speech and our actions go together. And we as children of God should bear good fruit. Listen to what Jesus says about where our speech comes from. When we speak, why is the tongue an unruly evil? It's in Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 through 37. This is one of the main points. This is why our tongue, what I want to get into now is why our tongue is such an unruly evil. Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 through 37. He says, either make the tree good or its fruit good. Or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you, for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. What you say comes from your heart. And if your heart is evil, evil things come out of it. If your heart is good, good things come out of it. But what does the Bible say about the heart? In Jeremiah 17, Jeremiah says the heart is desperately wicked or is deceitful. Who can know it? And again, Jesus says in Matthew, it's not what goes into you, it's what defiles you, it's what comes out of you. He says, evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, and blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. And as you can see, thoughts. We speak thoughts. Murders. If you're angry, speak angry thoughts can be considered murder, but there's murder too. Adulteries are both acted out in speech and in deed. In word and deed, love. In word and deed. So whatever Pastor Reed said about works in his last sermon also applies to us. And this is why James says in chapter 3, verse 5, he says, the tongue is a fire. The tongue is a fire. It's verse 6, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body, sets on course nature, and it is set on fire by hell. You see, even though we've been born again, even though the Spirit of God dwells in us, we have a new heart, there's a war inside of us. Christ dwells in us, and sin dwells in us. We are saved right now. Yes, we are saved, but we are not fully perfected. This is why what comes from the heart can defile us. Who always speaks rightly? Not me. If anyone is unworthy to speak this message today, I am not. I feel unworthy on this message. I fail in speech often. I fail in speech because there's a battle inside me. There's a battle. Christ dwells in me, but sin also still dwells on me. Sometimes I do right things. Sometimes I don't do right things. And Paul says that in Romans chapter 7, verse 14, he says, 7:14, says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. For what I'm doing, I do not understand. For what I want to do, that I don't do. What I want to do, I don't understand it. I want to do one thing, but I don't do it. Why? Because there's a war inside of us. That's why the tongue is full of poison, because what we say comes from our hearts. And what always comes out of our hearts isn't what we want. How many times has anyone ever spoken something? They're like, oh man, I should not have said that. I should have never said that. Who falls that way? I do. I think everyone falls that way. Because there's a war inside of us as Christians. It says, for what I want to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that's what I do. The Apostle Paul is saying this. What I hate, that's what I do. The great Apostle Paul is saying this. We are saved, but we are not perfected. We are in process. That's why the tongue is an unruly evil, because what we say comes from our hearts, and our hearts are not perfect yet. We all stumble in many ways. This is what Paul is saying in chapter 3. We all stumble in many ways. Let not many of you become teachers, for you'll face a stricter judgment. What's Jesus say? By your words, you will be judged. Every idle word you speak, you'll be judged by it. Wow. Therefore, because of this war, we sin. John, the Apostle John, says, if anyone says he is without sin, he is a liar. That's pretty strong. He's a liar. If you think you're without sin, the Bible says you're a liar. And the truth is not in you. Wow. We better think we sin. We better humble ourselves. I mean, there's points where you can be like, oh, I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, I can do that. I can do that. That's not where God wants us to be. I can do that. You are the only one I call to. The one I cling to. You are forevermore. You have the words of life. So, because of all this, we don't speak rightly. Nor do we live rightly, because our speech and our actions are connected. And that's why I say, the reason why I'm making this point is because many people say that James is a book that's just like the book of Proverbs. And I'm not a scholar, but like the book of Proverbs, but I think James has a point. And what I've been saying is his point is that we will be judged. We all sin. And you are responsible for your sin. You are children of faith. Live as children of faith. Live as children of God. But we've come to the point where we don't speak or act rightly. So what do we do? What do we do? Well, our tongue's a restless evil. Does our tongue have a life of its own? It says, no man, verse 8, no man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Does our tongue have a life of its own? No. What we say comes from our hearts. The tongue obeys our warring hearts. Say you have this box, right? You have a box. The box is your heart. When we have free will, right? You have free will. You can do whatever you want. You can say, but what comes out of you is only what's in this box. That's your heart. You can reach into that box all you want. You can reach into the box as many times as you want, but what's going to come out of that box is what's in your heart. And there's a war in our heart. So sometimes good things are going to come out. Sometimes bad things are going to come out. And as we mature in Christ, hopefully more good things come out. But it takes the power of God to keep progressing. The tongue also can guide our lives. See, it says, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn the whole body. And look at the ships. They're so large and driven by fierce winds, but they have this little rudder. The bit guides the horse. The tongue has the power to guide the life. The rudder guides the ship. Why? We don't live alone. We live with people. We're called to be in community with others. Not only are we called to be, we have families. We have families, we have friends. So what we say doesn't just affect us. It affects our family, it affects our wives, our children, our parents, our brothers and sisters, our church members. Proverbs says death, Proverbs 18:21 says death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who live by it will eat its fruit. You see, the tongue can produce life or death. What we say has an impact on others. We can bless or we can curse. We can encourage or we can discourage. We can speak good, right, and true things, or we can speak wrong or false things. We must guard what we say because we will be judged by those words. Jesus spoke only what the Father told him to speak. We also should speak carefully. We should speak as children of God. Speak as children of faith. James says, every man should be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. That's tough. For some people, that could be tough too. I mean, sometimes we just want to speak. I'm wrong a lot. We will all be judged. We all sin. Jesus came and gave us the Spirit. Now, what difference does Christ make in our life? See, without Christ, you're a sinner. You are only a sinner. And when you reach into that box, you can only bring out sin. Before you knew Christ, you can only bring out sin. That's it. You can only bring out what your selfish heart desires. But then when you become a Christian and you have the Holy Spirit, now you're free to do what the Word of God says. You're free. You're able to do it. Not only you're free, but you're able to do it too. You are free to choose. You might, before, you wouldn't want to choose the Word of God. But now that you're born again, now you want to choose the Word of God. But here's the problem. Sometimes you choose the Word of God, and sometimes you choose your selfish part. That's the war that goes inside of us. That's the war. And so, as children of God, you have the choice, and we choose to to live by faith. You can choose your way, or you can choose Christ's way. You see, Jesus Christ came to earth as a man, and he lived a perfect life. He died for our sin and rose again so we could have the Spirit, we could have life, so we would no longer be slaves to sin, and we can choose to live by the Word of God, or we can choose to live by our thoughts. That's a big mistake I make all the time. Man, I think I'm right. How many of you think you're right? A lot. I think I'm right too much. Man, I'm telling you, that's a difficult battle. That's a difficult battle. I think I'm right. I may be right, but I'm so puffed up. I mean, that's an issue in my life. It's a big thing. So we are no longer slaves to sin. How did Christ overcome the devil? He used the Word of God. He used the Word of God to overcome the devil. Don't set your mind on things of the earth or on self, but on things above. James says, humble yourself. That's what I need. I need to humble myself. Humble myself, resist the devil. Stand and submit to God. Submit to God. Now that you're a Christian, you can submit to God. Before you were a Christian, you hated God. I'm going to do what I want. No one can tell me. It's my life. Well, if you're a Christian, it's not your life anymore. You've been bought with a price. Jesus Christ is Lord of your life now. So, just as James talks about faith without works is dead, speech without faith probably is also dead. We need to add some faith to our speech. We need to start speaking the Word of God. We need to start trusting and believing the Word of God so that when we speak the Word of God as Jesus spoke the Word of God, when we believe and live according to the Word of God, our speech has some faith. Speak as children of faith. Because that's what we are. If you're born again, that's what you are. You're a child of faith. For you no longer live according to, what does Paul say in Romans 8? No longer live according to the flesh. According to myself, my thoughts. It says, for those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, James is exhorting us to live according to the Spirit, to speak by faith, to speak according to faith. Just like what we do according to faith. Now we don't live according the way that we want. We live the way that God wants. So we need to have faith in God and believe Him and trust Him to live that way. So what do we do? How do we live as children of faith? How do we live as children of God? Well, James says it. He says, first of all, when you're in trials, if any of you lacks wisdom, first thing, ask God. Ask God for wisdom. What do I speak? Uh, How can I change? What am I doing wrong? He also says to confess. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. Those things are by faith. That's what the Word of God is saying. When you live that way, you're living according to faith. Then, determined to change. Determined to change. So, ask God how you can change. Ask God for wisdom. Then, believe that you have it. As Pastor Reed said about prayer, this is exactly what James is saying. He says, if you abide in me, and ask whatever you wish, and you will have it. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. You will have it. But here's what James says. He gives a warning. Live as children of faith. Ask in faith and don't doubt. Because if you're doubting, don't think you're going to receive anything from God. This is what James says. I mean, I can read it to you. It says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. If we doubt, we might not receive. So we better not doubt. We better live as children of faith. It's a warning to us. Then we commit our sin to God. So ask God. Ask him for wisdom. Ask him how he can change. What should I speak? What am I doing? Then confess, oh, Lord, I messed up. Sometimes you confess to God. Sometimes you might need to confess to your wife. Sometimes you might need other help even above that. But I don't want to, that's for another time. So ask God how you can change. Confess, determine to change. When you say, I'm changing, that's repentance. When you say, I'm not doing this anymore, for sure. And then when the challenge comes and you actually do what you say, then you've made a step towards repentance. Then you've made a step towards repentance. So commit your sin to God and ask him for help. That's what children of faith do. Children of faith ask for God's help. Children of faith rely on him. Then, I'm almost done. Find a verse. I haven't spoken too long, have I? Good. Find a verse that's the opposite, the godly action of your sinful speech. One that I need to pray more comes from Ephesians. And it says this, Ephesians 4, 29 through 32. And if you're like me, you might need this verse too. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good and necessary for edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. That's pretty good. That's pretty good wisdom. That's pretty good word. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. I don't need to say more. That's a good word right there. So again, he says, then pray that verse every day. You might need to pray it more than every day. Pray that verse every day and ask for God's help every day. And have faith that God will act. Don't give up. Don't give up, because James says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And let patience have its perfect work. Patience. Don't give up. Keep on it. Be persistent. Don't doubt. And don't doubt. James says, don't doubt. Because if you doubt, you won't expect anything from the Lord. Ask in faith. God will do it. God will help you. And that's why I say, he is the one I call to. The only one I cling to. He is forevermore. And he has the words of life, words that can change our life. For these words are not just words on a page, it's the word of God. This word is spirit, and it changes our hearts. And it can change your life too. It changed my life, and it is changing my life, and it can change yours too. And ask others to pray for you. That's what James says. Humble yourselves. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. This is what James says. You may not know where that comes from, but it comes from James. That you may be healed. So, praise the Lord for his word. It's true that guides us and leads us, for we need Christ. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word that leads us and guides us. Your word that reveals what's in our hearts. Your word that your word that's living and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intentions of our hearts. Thank you, Father, for giving us a new heart. Thank you, Father, for giving us your spirit. Thank you for giving us your word. Thank you for giving us Christ. And thank you for having mercy on us. For mercy triumphs over judgment. And let us be merciful to others as we speak. For you are the one we cling to. In Jesus' name, amen.